to the pulpit at the end of, you know, at the end, everybody coming up, talking, you know, saying what they're saying. I'm sitting over there. I see 9 Negroes walked up dressed alike in the same colors, looking like the Bopsy twins. I said, that ain't happening no more. I got to her. I said, no, we ain't. And they come up here with Christmas tree colors on. They got red and green and all that. Think it's Christmas time. I tell, no, we ain't doing that no more. That's about looking good. We did this for the pastor. You ain't did a doggone thing. Because if I wasn't preaching and teaching, they wouldn't want to bring me no what? No gifts. See? If I would, I ain't no gifts, money, because I don't want no ties, I don't want no t-shirts, no underwear. I want some money. You know what I mean? You can put it at my feet or in my hands. I ain't ashamed to stoop down and pick it up. Or you can put it on the dresser, I get it on the way out. It don't matter. But I want some what? Money. See, I want some money. Because that's what the Bible says I'm supposed to have if I'm preaching and teaching. Amen. Properly, I should be rewarded doubly. Yes. Money. Yes. Oh, don't bring me no shirt that's too small. Come on, I had a dream, Pastor. I like this shirt on you. Then the doggone thing too small. I almost cussed. I tell you the truth, I said, these Negroes are something else. Well, I need to be pastoring white folks. That's what I said. Then I found out if you're pastoring white folks, you ain't get a quarter. You ain't getting a dime if you're pastoring them. They give you $5 when you preach. That's all you're getting, $5. Can't even buy no gas. That's $5 a gallon. Shoot. So you don't measure leadership by results or accomplishment, because that's going to make everybody chase after the wrong thing. Everybody, because everybody's going to want their names called. Now, when we talk about everybody wanting their names called, we can't really be sinister and real critical or very hard on people, because that's a deep, that comes from a, that you have to look at the theology of that. You know, people can't help but wanting to be affirmed. The first act of God was affirming his creation, Adam and Eve. He said, I like this. This is very good. So affirmation is appropriate. We should affirm, okay? But affirmation without stability, it's going to create chaos, because we got people who are envious, jealous, covetous. Those are real expressions. Those are real expressions. Are you with me? So you have to be careful with how we do this, and we have to focus on the relationships and not results. Do we want results? Yes. Should we be concerned when we don't get results? Yes. But what's the ultimate thing we want? The relationship. Why? Because the relationship will produce the what? Results. Now, it appears that James Collins and Jerry Porras agree with Jesus in their book, Built to Last. They argue that great leaders do not focus on achieving their goals. Rather, leaders concentrate on building great organizations, which means people. Okay? You know, Jesus focused on building people. That's what he built, people. He didn't have to build a kingdom. The kingdom was already there. Uh-oh. See? Are you with me? The call of people to be in right relationship with God has taken precedence over their occupations. Exodus 19:4, the general assumption is that God delivered Israel to take them to the promised land. This verse does not teach that. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to my. For God, it was not about the region, rather it was about their what? Relationship. He says, I want to spend time with you. You know, you've been in bondage for 400 years. Ain't no way in the world you're going to know how to act. Ain't no way in the world you're going to know how to behave. Ain't no way in the world you're going to know what you ought to do next. I know you think you know. I know you are grateful to be free and you want to shake your tail feather and get on. I understand all that, but you're not ready yet. See? You're not ready yet. You need to work on your what? Relationship. Spiritual what? Maturity. See? Are you with me so far? I wish I could really paint this picture for us. Now, building relationships is hard work. You know, I mean, we go through changes. I look at Tansas sometimes. I walk in the office. I mean, I'm a mess, you know. First of all, when I get in, I don't have no keys to the church. None. I ain't got one key. So when I come, this is how I knock on the door. I walk right up and kick the door. This is how I knock on it. She know my knock. So I kick on the door. She gets from her desk, come open the door for me. She looking at me crazy. She like, Negro, I ain't, you know, we ain't doing this today. You kicking on doors and stuff. Use your keys. I got stuff to do. Right? And I don't feel like being bothered with you today. So I see that when I first walk in. But I'm the pastor, so I don't care. So I go to my office. I sit down. I said, Tazia. I holler her name. She come in and she like, I ain't doing you today. With all that foolishness, calling me and all that. I got stuff to do. You don't want nothing. You don't remember nothing half the time. I do all the work. Just ask me what I'm supposed to. Just ask me what you're supposed to do and we can get this over with. My point is there are days where she don't want to be bothered with me. See, there are days where she don't want to be bothered with me at all, right? I know that. I'm a pastor. She's a human what? But I tell you what, the days she don't want to be bothered with me, she work harder. The days she don't want me saying nothing to her, don't want to be bothered, she get her work what? So I called her, I said, what you doing? She ain't never not doing no work. I said, what you doing? She said, I'm working on this, working on that. I said to my hung the phone one day. I said, don't nobody work that hard. Ain't nobody working that hard. She's so efficient. She's so sharp. She's so fine-tuned. Watch this. I guarantee you, she'll never admit this. She's so fine-tuned. She's so sharp. She has this church in such good shape, she could actually work 2 days a week. That's how tight she has it. She could work 2 days a week, cover it off, and run everything from her house and from her cell phone. That's how strong her administration is. I know that. I don't go in there putting no more on her because she's worked so hard to get it where it is. I don't never know when she's at work and when she ain't work. I don't even ask her when she go in or what time she's coming in. Do I ask you any questions? I don't ask her nothing. See? Not one word. I don't know when she's going. I don't know when she's leaving. Sometimes I walk in, y'all need to go home. I'm sick and tired of y'all. I don't even want you here. I might want my girlfriend to come to the office. You sit up in here. Go home. Right? Go home. Don't sit around. Go find something else to do. That's how strong our relationships are. See? Hold on a minute.
Would you mind going back to the other screen?
Okay, I will. This one? Okay, what are you looking for?
Thank you, appreciate
it. Okay, all right, so now the relationship aspect holds things together even when you don't feel like being what? Bothered. Now she's a 56-year-old black woman, she has a husband, 40 years, she's been married to him, she don't like him every day, right? I get swept into that. See, you see what I'm saying? I stumble in that. Now, that's stuff I don't do. That's stuff I get. I do enough stuff to her that she get mad at me about. But then I get stuff that I don't do. Right? But I don't focus on results. I focus on what? So I come in and I say, you all right? She's going to lie to me. Yeah, I'm all right. That's okay. I come in 2 days later. I said, take this and go get you a massage and get your hair done. See? I don't even let her know that I know. Because of our what? Relationship. She'll tell you to be on time every time. I don't say nothing to him. He walk right in, and whatever he hand me, be right on time. Because I know her. See what I'm saying? Because we have a what? Okay. And I know the result's going to be there. And she takes it so personal when they're not there. Oh, Pastor, I said, baby, don't worry about it. You got it right so many times. I don't even know when you don't get it right. We ain't going to worry about that. She takes it what? Personal. When she doesn't make our relationship look like what it's supposed to look like. It's not results. It's what?
Relationship.
Now, take that principle and apply it to marriage. It's not the results. It's the what?
Relationship.
See? Can I move on, baby? Okay. All right. So, Peter Drucker says that there's a demand for measurable results. There's a demand for measurable results, but we measure our results differently. How do we measure our results? By spiritual what? Maturity, which means we don't look at, we don't look at the person with the same kind of eyes as the world looks. Because it might not look like they can make it. It might not look like they can pull it off. Nobody would have never called me to be the pastor of the church if they didn't know where I was, where I came from. They wouldn't have called me to be the pastor, not where I come from. No. They would, no, he can't be no pastor. He might have a flashback, right? He can't be no pastor. Are you with me so far? Man, I ain't thinking about going back to where I was. I don't care if I did have $1 million. God saved me. He delivered me. And my encounter was real, right? I ain't thinking about none of that. Now, I use my previous life experiences to minister, but I ain't trying to go back to that. Please, I wouldn't even know what to do out there. Now, I've been gone 30 years. I'm scared of everybody now. You know, I ain't been in the streets in 30 years. I don't know what they're doing out there anymore. Now watch with the watch the last sentence there. What better way to appear successful than to set a goal and then meet it? I mean, anybody can do that. You know, anybody can set a goal and meet their goal and then call it success. But it's not necessarily success, right? So as we go to the next screen, it appears that James Collins, we've already been there, right? Yeah, next. Huh? Oh, the call of people in the right relationship with God takes precedent over their occupation. That's what we did talk about this. For God, it was not about the reason, rather it was about their what? Relationship. Now, leadership is more than leading people to a place or a task. Leadership is more about moving people to a relationship with who? God. See? Now, watch this consideration. Can you take people to where you've never been before?
No.
If you don't have a relationship with God, how are you going to move somebody there? If your relationship with the Lord is suspect, right? I mean, if your relationship with God is on 48 hours hard evidence, then what can you really anticipate coming from that relationship? Prayer and faith are practices that what? That's right. Prayer and what? Faith are practices that define who? It is through prayer and faith that you must see what you have never what? And hear what you have never what? If you have not seen and heard, how can you lead someone else to seeing and hearing? Right? So let's look at Jesus' disciples in Matthew 17. You know this story when it was at the Mountain of Transfiguration. And Jesus was up there and, you know, he glorified himself and all of that. And they came down out of the mountain and met some people, a man with a boy who was demon possessed. And they said, we brought him to your disciples. They couldn't do nothing with it. You know, the demon is throwing my boy down in the water and, you know, and he's burning himself with fire and he's screaming and hollering, you know, and your disciples couldn't do nothing. And then Jesus rebuked the crowd and his disciples. He called the crowd a wicked generation. And then he called his disciples, oh, ye of little what? Oh, ye of little faith. Now, no faith, no prayer. Because faith gets God right in your view. Let me give it to you again. Faith gets God right in your what? See, faith can be seen as a rearview mirror. You look in the rearview mirror when you're driving down the street. And you see certain things in rearview mirror, it helps you to get right in your driving. Well, faith does that with God. You look at God through faith, and you can see where God has been. Oh, y'all missed it. Oh, man, you know what? Let me go on this. See, this side over here. And I'm a gentleman. I walk all the way around. I don't even cut through the seats or nothing. I walk all the way around. What did I say about faith? You know, I'm 60. I forget stuff. I said, faith is like a rearview mirror. That when you look at God through the lens of faith, you can see where God And where God has been can make you right for where you are going. Just like when you're driving down the street, you look in the rearview mirror, you see what the traffic is like behind you. It helps you to get right for where you're what? Okay. Faith. Okay. Faith. 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 Prayer. You know, I'm praying because I believe. Not I just believe, but I'm believing rightly. Because you can believe wrongly. We see this in politics. You got the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Okay? Let me just say this disclaimer. I'm none of them. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. Ain't none of them no good as far as I'm concerned. Okay? So, I mean, I'm just telling you before I make this statement, if you're a Democrat, I'm about to kill you. And if you're a Republican, I'm going to kill you too. Right? Because think about it. When the Democrats talk about politics, they talk about it from their point of view. They have a different point of view about how to lead the country than the Republicans. When the Republicans talk about it, they talk about it from their point of what? View. Okay? And when you listen to them, you're confused. You know, I was listening today. You know, Barack Obama's a weak president. Really? For real? How's he weak? When he's accomplished everything he want to accomplish. He just ain't accomplished what you need him to accomplish. But everything he set out to do, he's done everything he said he was going to do. He just didn't say he was going to do nothing for you. See, he didn't say he was going to do nothing for black folk. Come on now, say amen now. Say something. Say ouch, say something. He never said he was going to do anything for anybody of who? Color. And he didn't do anything for people of what? See? Because the only person that helps people is God. The only person that helps people is who? And the only people that will help another person is the people that God is in. Because people don't help people. Cain and Abel teaches us that. Adam and Eve teaches us that. People don't help people without God being in the midst. Are you with me so far? So let's look at Eve. Sisters, y'all gonna have a problem with me, so I already know what the left side gonna do, so I'm gonna come over here. Now, what did Eve do when Lucifer showed up in that serpent? First thing she did was she told a lie. The first person she lied to was the liar. And the first person she lied on was God. Yeah. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. Come over here. Yeah. You see that? See that? They ain't gonna say nothing. Now, let me give it to you again. The first person Eve lied to was the liar. She lied to Satan, who is a liar, and the father of who? Lies. She lied to the one who originated lying. So women will lie, won't they? Say amen. Amen. They will. They will. A woman will lie in a heartbeat. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen before you quit on me. Listen before you quit on me. Listen before you quit on me. Listen because you quit on me. Before you quit on me. She doesn't lie to be diabolical or sinister, although some do. Most women lie because they're insecure. It's a defensive posture, trying to slow down the hurt they think they're going to experience because of where they've been. So they'd rather tell a lie than to tell the what? Because they're trying to protect themselves. Now, I'm not excusing it. I'm just talking about what happens when a woman don't have no protection. Adam didn't protect Eve because men are irresponsible and cowards. See? That's why you don't have no strong male leadership, because they are what? Irresponsible, and they're what? Cowards. It takes a man to obey God. Cowards ain't gonna obey him. So you think you're a man because you pay your bills. You pay your bills because you don't want to get put out. That don't mean you're a man. don't mean you're a man because you pay your bills. Because you go to work every day don't mean you no man. Because you got a deep voice don't mean you no man. You are not a man if you don't obey God. It takes courage and being responsible. Now, was Adam courageous? Hell no. Was he responsible? Hell no. He was standing right there when that woman was lying, and he didn't correct her. He could have said, God didn't say that, baby, because he talked to me about it first. But he didn't say that. So what was happening there? There wasn't any leadership by the man or the woman. Watch it now. We're going back to Genesis 1, 2. And so God has called you in order to restore what? Creation. Now, you can't restore creation if you're not what? A leader. Because everything you're going to run into is a mess. It's chaos. You're going to have liars and people who are lying and people who are what? Irresponsible. And that's what the church is made up of. Did you get here at 7 o'clock this morning? Oh yeah, I did. Why? Why did he or she lie? Don't want the pastor to be mad. See? Don't want to disappoint the who? Pastor. So what they'll do, pastors or leaders, they will lie to you because they don't want to disappoint you. It's not that you're really trying to be sinister or deceptive. Now, lying is wrong, period. But you got to understand what you're dealing with. That's why it can't be about results. It got to be about a relationship. See, so when I'm sitting down talking to a sister, I already know when I'm talking to her, now she's going to lie. When I'm sitting down talking to a brother, I already know this brother's a coward and he's irresponsible. He's not going to do anything I asked him to do. He's going to say yes. He's going to say yes, but he's a coward. He's a coward because he has not learned that obeying God makes you a man. Obeying God actually makes you a full human being. Because after the fall, we became less than human. Did you hear what I said? We have beast mentality. We have lower life mentality and behavior. See, that's what we have. And we're not restored until we get saved. Now, once we get saved, we're restored to the place where we can lead. Now we can bring God's life out of the chaos if we're leading appropriately. That's why this is so important. See, that's why this leadership is so important. And when you think about it, there's no leadership anywhere. There aren't any leaders when you think about it. As a matter of fact, Western culture is not really set up for one leader or leaders. It's set up for a whole lot of folk to come together and whatever. And if all of us believe the same thing, that's what we're going to do. It don't have to necessarily be right as long as there's a what? Majority. That's the democratic process. Well, the kingdom is not democracy, it's theocracy. And the church I pastor is one voice, mine. Mine. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care what you are. It's my voice. It ain't your voice. You better go somewhere and sit down with your two Bible verses knowing self. You know half a verse and you're going to lead. You better go sit down somewhere. People don't need your words. They need God's words. Your word ain't proved nothing. Your wife don't even listen to you. You know how I know that? Because she calls me behind your back and tell me what you're doing at home. Wives calls pastors and snitch on husbands. Now, I'm telling you what I know. Yes, ma'am, hold on. And sometimes husbands call pastors and snitch on who?
So you're saying you only need to be a leader if you're equipped to be a leader.
Okay, and how does this affect us being former slaves?
Well, this church is, you know, y'all ask great questions. I'm going to deal with that because that's very important. That former piece is very important. And this young lady says, we shouldn't even attempt to lead until we are prepared, equipped. Exactly right. That's why the disciples walked with Jesus how many years? 3.5 years before he sent them. And when he sent them out, he sent them under the power of the Holy who? He said, now you go to Jerusalem and do what? Wait. You ain't ready now. You're not prepared yet. Now, you've gotten some stages of preparation. I breathed on you in the upper room and told you to receive a little Holy Ghost. That was a little bit. Came and showed myself to you on Emmaus Road, you know what I mean, after the resurrection. That was a little bit. But you still don't have that waiting power yet. See? Still had that. Now, watch this. The power came after they obeyed what Jesus what? Said. Okay. You see what I'm saying? If you go and do what he says, you're going to meet his what? Power. You got to obey. See? Have to obey. Are you with me so far? All right, so now the young lady against the wall, what's your name, sweetie? Sarah says, she says, now, what is all this being a slave to sin? How does that play into this? How does that play into this? Okay. What time is it? Let me take you through it right quick. Meet me in Romans chapter 8. Because that's a great question. Because where you come from can influence where you're going. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Everybody knows that verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who live according to the... Let me get this verse right. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the what? But according to the Spirit. Now, I have one or two things we have to clear up before I can really answer her question. Number one, when Paul uses the word flesh, the Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X, he oftentimes would use it synonymous with body. With body. You see this in Romans chapter 8, verse number 11, where he actually talks about the bodies, mortal bodies. Okay? So he will use flesh and bodies interchangeably. We, the Western church, Western Christianity, or American Christianity, have made the flesh all about just being sin. When the flesh is not just sin, because you are in flesh. This is flesh. Your body is what? Flesh. So when Paul references flesh in Romans 8:1, he's referencing a life that's without the Spirit. So he says, if your life does not have the Spirit, you are already what? Condemned. Okay? What are you condemned by? You're condemned by the sin. All right? The sin principle, the sin nature, that power, that presence of sin that was in your life condemns you. You were enslaved to that until you got what? Saved. Now that you're positioned in Christ, there is now, therefore, no more what? Condemnation to those who are in who? Christ Jesus. Okay, listen to me very closely. When he speaks of condemnation, he's speaking about the power of sin. And he's speaking about the penalty of sin. So then God says, or Paul says to the church at Rome, if you're in Christ, watch this now, you're no longer under the power of sin, and you're no longer under the punishment of sin. There is now, therefore, no what? Condemnation. I need you, brother, and I need you, brother. Okay, this is God. I'm the believer. This is sin. Okay? So now there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So now God can't condemn me, but sin can't control me. Why? Because I've been made what? Free. See? So now I'm free now. God can't condemn me because I'm in who? Christ. Sin can't control me because I'm in who? Christ. So then why do I still sin? That's where we're going. See? Why do I still sin? Watch this. We sin because we've been socialized by sin, the power. So our members have been trained to sin. So we have habits. Listen, my hand habitually takes what's not mine, not because I'm under the power of sin, but because I practiced it so long and I have not broken that what? Practice. You understand that? Y'all follow me? So now watch what God says. If you're in Christ, I can't condemn you. So you're free from my point of view. If you're in Christ, the devil really can't control, sin can't control you. So you're free. So Galatians 5:1 says, stand therefore in the liberty that you have in who? Christ Jesus, and not be entangled to bondage what? Again. Now watch this, here it is. All right, now, when we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18, you're gonna see where the characterizations in Romans chapter 1, and beginning verse 18 of people, through the end of that chapter, verse 32, I believe it is. You have one piece in verse 18 who suppressed the truth. Verse 25, that same truth that they suppress, they're going to exchange it for a lie. Yeah. So Adam and Eve suppressed the truth, and they exchanged that truth for a what? Lie, and partook of the what? Tree. Are you with me so far? But when you're in Christ, those two things you'll never do. You'll never suppress the truth. You'll never exchange the truth for a lie. If you're in who? Christ. But all that other stuff that he lists there, sexual immorality, proud, whispers, backbiters, all that stuff he lists there, the believer can do that even after they get saved. But that's not sin, that's transgressions. And there's a difference between sin and what? So the transgressions that we perform is because we're not purging, we're not cleaning ourselves. We're not disciplining ourselves. Are you with me so far? So when we're not doing that, we're spiritually immature. So we're not prepared to do what? Lead. Because we're not purging. We're still asking for forgiveness when we've already been what? So what you keep asking for? What you already have. If you ask for forgiveness, you're going to remind yourself that you're guilty of something. So now you're paralyzed. You can't do nothing. Because you don't think you're good enough. You don't think you can. You don't think God's going to use you. You don't think that God, you all that, you all messed up. So therefore, you're not going to lead anybody. Right. You're supposed to have stuff in your life. What did you think you ain't going to have nothing in your life? Who you think you are? You ain't arrived. 36-24, 36, win in hand don't mean nothing up in here. Commodores will get you in trouble if you walk around here thinking that swaying your hips is all you need to do. Brother, your chest ain't thick enough or strong enough. Your shoulders are not broad enough to do this. You don't make enough money, brother. Your car don't shine enough to do this. Don't nobody really care about you. Not for real. You are a usable, perishable object. You better try to figure out how to get free from sin and judgment. Are you with me so far? Now, until you do that, you can't lead. Leaders spend personal time with God before him about themselves. About themselves. My sin, my transgression, my weaknesses. You know, I ain't praying for you before I start praying for who? You know, when I go to the Lord, I'm going to the Lord for me. You know, Lord, get me right for the people. You know where I was this week. Yeah, get me right for the people. Yes, sir, hold on.
Because we got some kids that got to get home and stuff. But I want to mention something that you just brought up, what Sister Andrea said about being equipped. And I love what you just said, that sometimes we think we need the skills of a leader. right? You know, like how to do this, how to do that, you know, about being equipped. But what Pastor just brought up was a very important point, is that we have to get those habits. We have to prepare spiritually if we're going to lead people spiritually. You know what I mean? And I believe that that was such a powerful point that he just made, that don't condemn yourself just because you don't feel qualified. You follow what I'm saying? Because we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But yet still keep trying. You know what I mean? Don't give up just because you keep falling short.
I think that's a good place to stop tonight. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Emma, did we learn anything?